That makes my joy complete, almost. I thought my son and his wife would be here tonight, and they're not, and that's a disappointment. We appreciate each one of you being here this evening at the worship service of the Church of Christ here. It's my hope that I'll say something that will make you feel good that you've been here and that you'll be closer to your God than you was when you walked in. I love my Lord and I love His book. I love to talk about it. I've been asked 2 or 3 times, how long are you going to talk, 2 or 3 hours or more? And so I said, no, probably less than 45 minutes. Jackie, I'll promise you, I'll let you out a little earlier. In Acts, the 17th chapter, right close to around the 10th verse, we find that Paul has been traveling. He's going toward Rome, and he has come to a town named Caesarea. And as his was his custom, he stopped and always went into the synagogues to talk to the Jewish people that was congregated there. And he preached to them a lesson that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came, He lived, and He arose. Later on that evening, they took Paul and Silas over to another town. And it's funny that the name of that town was right on my lips until now. But that town was more noble than Caesarea was. They were more open-minded. And so they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul had to say was true. And that's what I want you to do when you go home tonight. Don't take my word. Don't take any man's word. Take God's word. You study the scriptures. It's amazing about man. Let us make man in our image. And then in the Gospel of John, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Son of God, and the God, the Father, and that He was God. An illustration I like to use so that we could understand the two, the Father and the Son, is I have one son. When he was born, my name was Hadley, and his name is Hadley. And Jesus Christ is God, his Father. And we find in Matthew, the latter part of Matthew, that Jesus is telling his disciples, says, my Father sent me, and the works I do, I've seen him do. And the things I say, he sent me to say. So it seems to me like fathers that is a good lesson for those who are fathers. That their children might try to emulate them if they are godly fathers. I have a story about my own son. Dorothy and I had bought this old home in Pocatello, and we decided that we was going to remodel the whole inside. It was two stories tall. And so we tore the walls off the inside and the ceiling. I don't know whether our son watched us tear things down or what. But one morning, as I was getting ready to leave, Dorothy and I had bought him a little toy carpenter set. Before I left for work, I said, "Son, I'd like for you to tear that old porch off. It was so rickety. It was almost scary to step on it. You're afraid you're going to go right through it." So I says, "Tear that porch off. I'll put a new one up." So I went off to work at Idaho State College. I enjoyed that summer, I think, more than any of the others. I worked with an engineer who was over the engineering department, and we was rebuilding a men's dormitory from the basement to the top floor. I think it was three stories tall. And every morning we'd come together, he'd bring out the blueprints and lay them out, and he says, "Now, Harold, this is what we're going to do today." He made it sound so easy. And I was apprentice carpenter at the time, and I thoroughly enjoyed working with him, for he treated me as if I was one of his own. I went home that afternoon at 5 o'clock as usual. I went through the house to the back door and opened the door and stepped out, and there was wind, there was air, that was all there was. Scary, because it was a couple feet down to the ground, and I kept thinking, "Oh boy." And Dorothy says, "Well, you told him to tear it off." And Mary Jane says, "Yes, he didn't even want to stop for lunch." Well, who would have thought that a kid that's 4 or 5 years old would tear a porch apart in one day? But I wondered, is he emulating me? I wish he was, through his entire life. We find in Acts, the 17th chapter, and I think it's the 31st verse. If one of the men would read that, I'd appreciate it. It's better than me just talking. Then if you would turn to I have to remember exactly where I want that read. It's Philip, the second chapter. I believe it's the 21st verse, or the 12th verse, I'm sorry. Second chapter, in the 12th verse. We find that Jesus is the one that's going to judge us, and that there is a day appointed that he appointed himself. And to think that he was there when we was created, he loved us, and we were made in their image. And then in the Apostle John, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing made that he didn't make. And the love that he had, that he gave it for mankind, and the love that the Father had, that he sent the Son to speak in his behalf to them. There is a responsibility that we have to ourselves. And so I was hoping I'd get past this because, but I guess I won't. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I believe it's the 28th verse. All right, husbands, listen. Husbands, love your wife as yourself. Wow. He goes ahead and says that the wife is to respect the husband. But there's one verse there that says, man never did hate his flesh, but he cherished it and nourished it. And if he loves his wife as himself, he'll do the same because she and him are one. And God made us that we could make a decision and do it. To choose right from wrong. Out of all the creatures that he made, Christ told the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not is condemned. Now we know the creatures that he was speaking of as humans. Only humans could make a decision and then do it. I'm going to tell you a short story on that. Part of it is just make-believe, and the other part that you might take it as truth. Brother Ray invited the whole church to his backyard. He was going to have a barbecue steak. Everyone was to bring their own drinks and their own utilities. So all the men, they was getting ready to have a big steak. Brother Ray had worked hard. He was barbecuing the steaks and he laid them out. Sister Blanchley, she trained seeing eye dogs. Well, they walked into the yard, but the dog, he has a real nice smell, you know. He smelled steak, boy. So he breaks away and he runs over and he grabs a steak. He runs away with it. And Ray runs after him. He goes outside. And then there's a police car come by and Ray hollers at him and stops him and says, arrest that dog. He's a thief. He stole one of my steaks. And of course the policeman just laughed and laughed and laughed because God made dogs like that, where they could smell and where they love to eat something that smells good to them. Well, actually anything. But the policeman laughed and laughed and laughed, says, I can't arrest that dog. That dog has no responsibility for what he does. And says, I could arrest the one who owns the dog because he got away. He said, oh, no. Don't want to do that. And the steak the dog stole was Brother Blanchley's. So Brother Blanchard, looking around, that dog, but he couldn't take a steak away from the dog. And so he said, well, I guess we're responsible, so we'll replace the steak, or steaks, whatever it is. And so he left, and he brought the steaks and brought back. Brother Blanchley says, Brother Ray says, well, I worked hard cooking that steak, so now it's your turn. Whose responsibility was it? Dog. He had no responsibility. But the Blanchley's dead. And God made man that way so that we had responsibility. I heard a fellow on TV saying that we babied our children so much that they didn't have no responsibility. They always come back to mom and dad. But we find that there is a time we're going to have responsibility whether we like it or not. For we find in the Philippian letter, I believe it's the second chapter and the 10th verse maybe, it says that every knee is going to bow before Jesus. Every tongue is going to confess his name. You and I have a responsibility for ourselves. Now, sure, we can say, well, we have some responsibility to others, but all we can do is help them along the road a little. It's up to them to make the decision. It's their responsibility. Sure, I'd like to stand up with a lot of people, but I'm afraid that that's not my job. My job is to stand up for me and to give my answer. And I'm asking you this evening, are you ready to give the answer? And what will it be? We find in the latter part of Acts, Paul tells them that we live, we move, and we have our being in him. If you stop and think about that, we live, God give us life. If we move, it's because we move. We decide to move. We can decide not to move. Have our being, his character. What kind of person are we? Do we want our children to be like us? What about our neighbor? The greatest commandment says to love your Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, spirit. And the second one is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first brothers we read about, one gave the right offering to God, and God was pleased. The one brother didn't. Now, God never asked anyone to do anything that he already hadn't told. The one brother was mad at the other because God was pleased with his and not his. So he killed him. And God come and asked him, where's your brother? And his answer was, am I my brother's keeper? No, and yes, he was his own keeper, and he was to love his brother. If he loved his brother as he loved himself, his brother would be alive. There are so many scriptures that tells us that we are going to be held responsible for our very actions. And the very one that made us the very one that come to earth because his dad, his father, he called him father, sent him. And he offered himself for as an offering for the very ones that he had created or helped. What a shame. God's Son died for you and for me. And it's our responsibility to live for Him. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's an invitation. Now it's up to all of us. Are we going to answer, "I'm coming, Lord"? Or, "I think I'll just go my own way. I haven't made up my mind yet, so I think I'll just be with me." That sin starts with us. In fact, all sin starts with the human being. They say, "I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to do what the Lord wants me to do." One way or another, he has to say he will or he won't. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, I believe it is, we find that the children of Israel, each one of them, and Joshua asked them, "If you think it's wrong to serve God, you want to go back and worship those gods on the other side of the river, choose you this day whom you will serve." Later on says, "We will serve the Lord." But I like what the answer come back from Joshua himself. And he says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the answer, question still comes up. Who do you choose? Have you already chosen? And are you obeying what you chose for? We find that we will confess our Lord, whether we just put it off or not. We're going to answer, "Yes, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And yes, though I didn't really want to, my knees are going to bow before you, for you are our judge, our God." What will your answer be when he asks you the question, personal questions? And then you have to choose. It doesn't matter whether you choose him or not. You're still choosing. If you don't choose the Lord, you're choosing, "I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do what I want to do." So you're choosing either way. So isn't it better to choose God? It's amazing about people. I sit and comb my hair and get it all nice and pretty. And I shave. The ladies, they do their thing. We're all prettied up. And then sometimes we're ashamed because we spend so much time on ourselves. But we find that we're supposed to love our own selves. We're supposed to love our wives. Our wives are supposed to love us. How can we love our wives? How can we love our neighbors? How can we love God if we don't love ourselves? So do you love yourself? Do you want to go to heaven or not? You say, well, I haven't made up my mind yet. Well, then you're not really in love with yourself very much, are you? But no man hateth his own flesh. I believe we all want to go to heaven. I know I do. I've had splinters in my fingers and I've had to go and they dig the splinter out and cut and all that and get it out. And I go, oh my gosh, the whole body aches for that. We ought to ache for each other and not just for us. There are people out there that don't know, that need someone to tell them they are responsible. Do you love yourself? You say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Well, do you really? Well, it tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth. Yes. So, are we doing that? Oh, sure, I believe in God, but you know, I just don't know as I have to be buried in water. Man over here just said, a sprinkle. Really? A farmer come in one evening and told his son, says, son, over has died. I'd like for you to go out and bury him. So the son, he jumped up, went out, shovel, he sprinkled dirt all over the dog. The father come in and says, son, I thought I asked you to bury old Rover. He said, well, the preacher said that this was the type of burial, sprinkling. And I thought that was all right. I just put a little sprinkled dirt on him. He says, yes. That sounds good until he starts to smell him. You see, Romans tells us that we need to be buried. This old person that's so sinful, even though it doesn't want to, it does. It needs to be buried. It needs to get rid of it. So we're buried with Christ. Can you imagine that? The Son of God gives his life for us and then he has to die with us again and in that dirty water. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were baptized and you got up and you could look back into that water and see what you left? All those filthy sins. All that past body, the life that you lived. And now you're clean. You're clean. Jesus was there. And then he says, I'll walk with you and help you along life's way. Oh, there's so many scriptures in the Bible I could quote and tell you. But I want you to go home with the thought, I'm going to see if what he had to say is true. I'm going to look up the scriptures. And then I'm going to act on them. if Jesus tells me that I need to come and meet with all the other brethren and sisters, and that in doing that, it helps them and helps yourself too. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. Because we all need that association with each other. And when we walk in that door to worship God, we must remember that God is here. In fact, He is everywhere. If you read Acts, the 17th chapter, I believe that it was one of the greatest sermons, perhaps, that Paul ever preached. We all need to read that, to study it. To place ourselves in the ones that he's speaking to. It would be a great help to each one of us. Jesus loves us still. Oh, yes. If we all stood up and said, well, I'm a sinner, even now, even though I've tried my best not to be, my Lord will forgive me. And He will. If you say, well, I don't sin at all, I'm just pure, oh my gosh, I'm just as... You're lying to yourself. Do you love yourself? Remember, the one that made you, He knows all about you. He's not in buildings. He's within reach of every one of us. And He loves us. What will your answer be tonight? You have to choose. One way or the other, you're going to choose. I'm going to choose the Lord, and I'm going to follow Him. And whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Or I'll think about that for a while. I think maybe I'd like to go hunting or fishing or go someplace else on Sunday. We think the church is all, but the church is you. It tells us to come together, Paul says, partake of the Lord's Supper. But it says, you judge yourself. Look at yourself. Are you worthy? Are you taking it worthily? I can remember when I was a kid, they took me to the doctor, I forget what for, but he set me down and he stuck this thing in your ear and it had lights, you know, and you were trying to get away. He did the other side and he listened to your heart this way and that way and tell you to cough. And then he'd take a little hammer and hit your knee. And naturally your knees are going to jerk out. Are we actually looking within ourselves when we partake of the Lord's Supper worthily, he says. And he says, remember me. That's what it is, a memorial of our Lord. When he lived and died here, in his death and burial, his resurrection. And he says, you're going to come again. I love that where he's talking to the apostles and he says, in my Father's house is many mansions. And I think, oh boy, I hope one of them is there for me. But he says, I'm going to go. And where I go, I want you to be with me. Do you want the Lord? Do you want to be with Him? Do you hear Him say, come unto me? take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. So how's your life? Are you ready right now to go to heaven? The first year I was here, I worked at the hospital, and I enjoyed talking to all the patients. And I told one story. This one particular man he'd worked for Piggly Wiggly. Most of you don't even know Piggly Wiggly. In the South, it was well known. And I'd sit and we'd talk and talk and talk. I got so I loved that man. Then he told me, he says, I'm going to go home this afternoon. I said, that's good news. I'm going to go home for lunch. And he says, all right, but you're going to have to hurry back because the doctor says I can go home. I went back. He had a sheet over his head. He went. But he didn't go to the home that he was thinking about. And that's the way death is. It just, all of a sudden, it's there on you. It doesn't seem possible. It happens so fast. But our life is just a little breeze that can be here 1 minute and then gone the next. I've had grandchildren die. Breaks your heart. But what about you? When you stand before the Lord and you don't have the right answers, you went about your own way and lived your own life. And he stands and looks at you with those eyes of his. Oh, yes. We can imagine what heaven's like. But can you imagine what the other place is like? Jesus says there's a narrow way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And then he says, the broad way. Oh, that's my way. I want to go my way. I want to do what I want to do. Yes. And Sunday I'm going to take the Lord's Supper right along with everybody else and I'll feel good. Oh, yes. But am I judging myself? Am I really looking within myself and doing it the proper way? In memory of Jesus Christ and Him being crucified and all those people who were ranting and raving. You can say, well, just come on down and save yourself. I'm going to tell you tonight that if you're lost, He can save you. Don't put it off. Tomorrow may not come for you. And of course, those that gets old. I talked to a lady this morning. She said, I said, I'm glad you're here. She says, I am too. And she says, you know, I'm older than you are. And I says, oh, really? Yes. She says, I'm 93 years old. I said, yes. But that's all right. I just seem to stay where I'm at. And she said, yes, I know. I know. But you see, she's older than I am. I'm old enough, believe me. But I want to be young when I face my Lord. And I want to have the right answers. And I want you to have the right answers. I love people. When they had the fair over town, Dorothy and I went up on the east side and back down on the west, and there was a young lady there that invited us over to sit out and have a cold drink and eat a peanut butter cookie. Oh, man. You couldn't turn that down. So we went over and sat and ate and talked to her. And she says, how long have you two been married? And I told her that Dorothy stole my heart in Idaho, and I went to Walla Walla, Washington to get it back, and she wouldn't let me have it, so we just married. And she laughed and laughed. She says, well, I've never known anyone that's been married that long. That is great. And she said, how many children do you have? I says, five. And they're all good children. And God was in our home to help us. And then there was an elderly woman step up, and she says, oh, amen to that. She says, amen to that. You cannot raise children without God in the house and do it properly. Do you love your children? Do you love your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister? Do you love your neighbor? You choose tonight. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. And I know how long it seems when you step out in the aisle. If you want to, just step out. Someone else will walk down with you. If they don't, I'll hobble up to you. You can carry me back. Do accept Jesus tonight if you haven't. If you have and you're in sin, have the congregation pray for you and help you. That's all I can do is plead with you. I cannot stand up with you. And I cannot be baptized for you. But I can ask the congregation to forgive me of my sins. Can you? Will we stand as we sing the song of encouragement?